Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Sure.
Oh, and we come to you
on
this day.
So, there's, after every episode of The Walking Dead, there's The Talking Dead. And on the particularly, the episodes that are particularly traumatic for the fans, whenever, you know, main character or beloved character gets killed off, whatever, Chris Hardwick basically intros the show as, like, pretty much this episode is going to be more or less group therapy. So I feel like that's what this episode of Class Ring Attire is going to be.
Yeah.
So Daniel Bryan retired.
Daniel Bryan retired.
I'm assuming you guys knew this already. well, it's like, I guess if you didn't, I should have told you to sit down first. and so far, it's looking more and more and more like it's not any sort of storyline or work or anything like that.
No.
You know, there's going to be people that are always skeptical, and there's going to be a little bit of that skepticism back in my brain. Just like, you know, how we're always like, well, this would be a great time for Punk to show up, you
right.
know, or we're always going to, like, wait for that Punk, you know, static hit for, at a Rumble or something.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as Brian tweeted that out, you know, the first thing, like people were throwing up Mark Henry's retirement speech.
Yeah.
And like, ah, but remember, it's a war.
Right. And it was one of those things where it's like, I don't know if, like, I don't want him to be in that bad of health shape for it to be true, or
mm-hmm.
it's just my own, like, personal just greediness of, I want to see him more in a WWE ring.
It's both. I mean, you know, because it's not a situation where I'm like, you're fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if people say he's not good, he's not good. And, like,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan's not the kind of guy who's going to do this lightly. I've kind of been, like, racking my brain all of... It's Tuesday when we're recording this.
Yeah.
So, like, for the past day, you know, day and a half now, just trying to, like, come up with, like, what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
How I'm going to say it. And,
And it's weird, because it's not like it blindsided us or anything, because we knew, like, for a while, that, or at least for the past year or so,
yeah.
that this was going to be a possibility. And so it's not like this necessarily took us by surprise.
Well,
so we can't be like, we can't even be like, oh, this was so surprising.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, like, partially because he kept saying, like, I'm good to go.
Right, yeah.
So I was like, you know
and
what?
And all of a sudden it felt weird that he himself was changing that.
I felt emotionally prepared for him to retire from the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there was this little thing where I'm like, I'll watch him in New Japan or
sure.
Lucha or wherever he goes. Like.
And apparently, like, that was kind of what led to this was he went and saw it was some specialist or whatever in New York. And it was about, I think he said it was like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And basically he went there basically because they were doing new types of tests or something. And he wanted this to be another feather in his cap about like, you guys need to clear me.
Right.
And then that was the test where ultimately was like, you really need to stop doing this. You really need to retire.
Yeah. So I've said it several times on this podcast, but I really came back into wrestling in the build-up to WrestleMania 26.
Right.
And it was largely the Bret Hart storyline and that whole, like, what, Bret Hart's back? Bret Hart is never coming back.
Sure.
And, you know, kind of get into that. And so the stuff that got me back into it was a continuation of a storyline from 97, you know,
yeah.
with characters who were in their prime in 97 or right after. I mean, Vince
yeah.
McMahon, the character, was born out of that.
And ultimately, I was the same way because I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, and then he left, and I kind of fell out of it. And then all of a sudden, it was WrestleMania 23, and I heard Shawn Michaels at the main event for the championship against John Cena.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not right. That wasn't going to happen. He's retired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was in the same boat, yeah.
So for that first little bit back, I mean, you know, it was the build up to that match. It was
mm-hmm.
the Taker Shawn match. The retirement match was that year.
Yeah.
And so that was very interesting. But part of it was like, I know those guys.
Yeah.
I was interested in like Triple H's feud because I knew who Triple H was and I cared about that particular thing.
Right.
And it for you, those who don't remember, was against Sheamus, so like I care about half of that feud, and
that's where it started for
that,
you.
That torch, yeah. That torch never, like, that torch got fumbled. So
that torch turned into a lead pipe that went up against Triple H's head, and we never found out exactly what Triple H was going to say, and so exactly. We've always held that grudge against Sheamus.
But what I'm saying is that when I came back, basically what I was interested in was picking up the storylines that I had left.
Right.
Randy Orton was nothing when I left, when I stopped watching.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that or care that. I kind of knew who Cena was because, yeah. Like, I'd seen a trailer for The Marine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I understand that he's the big deal guy.
You understood that he existed.
Right, exactly. And like,
and that was about as far as that
went. And he was the one in the company that had been successful enough to be in WWE movies, so he was clearly, like, their main face.
Right.
But I, you know, as I was watching and, you know, WrestleMania passed, and so, like, Bret Hart wasn't doing anything anymore.
Right.
That was, at the time, that was the retirement for the Mr. McMahon character. Shawn was retired after that.
Mm-hmm.
Taker, that was like the beginning of Taker's one-a-year schedule kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, he came back for Hell in a Cell that year and had a brief feud with Kane that was in 2011.
Right.
But, like, for the most part, that was kind of the genesis of that Taker only comes back for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, as I was going through, there was, like, having to start to learn about / get excited and invested in these newer guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot that wasn't working about that. That was, like, towards the beginning of really, I didn't know it at the time, but that was at the beginning of really feeling the consequences of this Cena-Randy thing that had been going on for seven years that I had totally missed.
I'm glad it was fresh for somebody.
But it came to the point where the two guys that really I can point to are CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, where I can say, This is new, and this is up-and-comers. This is what will be here for a while. This is what to get excited about. This is, there is more wrestling coming.
Yeah.
It is kind of the best way to put it. Like, I came back to watch the end, because wrestling's an ongoing, never-ending storyline, but I came back to watch the end of the storylines that I had been following
from 97.
Yeah, 10 years ago. 15 years ago. And it was very easy to be like, I'm not going to follow these new storylines.
Sure.
Until CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And because of the way that CM Punk left, I feel like I never got to, like, really properly say my piece about, like, what he stood for and what he meant, because, like, you know, it happened. We're like, well, this is just the best work. I'm really pleased with this. He'll be back by Chicago.
Right.
All right. Well, and, you know, and, like, so, like, couldn't really be, like, say our piece about goodbye to CM Punk because he wasn't really left.
We were too busy, like, speculating on, all right, this isn't really happening, or this is, he's going to leave for a little while, or he'll be back, or something.
Right. And so it's kind of come down to, like, what Daniel Bryan has meant to these past couple of years of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of things. And I feel like, because I was trying to, like, map out, you know, I'm going to say this, and I need to be sure and say this, and, like, it kept spreading out in so many things because of what all he has done, what all he's been capable of. First and foremost, he's put on some of the most incredible matches of the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about
that.
Right,
and you list, like, at least, like, the top 10 matches of the past 5 to 10 years. Daniel Bryan is going to be in, I would say, at least 70% of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Daniel Bryan is in many ways the genesis of WWE versus the fans.
Yeah.
You know, we talk and joke about, but like, is honestly this really kind of monumental thing almost, mm-hmm. where like, we have a clear defined thing where we can point to and say it was going to be this, and we
right.
said no because we wanted this. And after WrestleMania, like last year and to some degrees this year, WWE versus the fans is about not this.
Right.
But with Daniel Bryan, it was about yes to this. This is what we want. This is what we want to see. And we will have that happen. I'm so incredibly glad he brought up the night where Daniel Bryan chanted during
the last time they were in, that he was in.
It was the last time he was in Seattle, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And they just ignored the important title ceremony.
Yeah.
Just chant Daniel Bryan. And I'm really glad that he brought that up, because that's a monumental Daniel Bryan moment for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very easy to point to WrestleMania 30. And sure. I don't mean to say that to, like, undercut WrestleMania 30 at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because WrestleMania 30 is, you know, I've said, like, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And we can argue about, you know, semantics on that, but...
Honestly, like, it would be one of those things where I would try to play devil's advocate on all that, but ultimately I don't really think I could come up with a good argument against it.
Yeah. But to wrestle two matches
mm-hmm.
on what I consider greatest WrestleMania of all time, both match of the year contenders,
just because of the weight of the moment, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. The video package, the monster package,
yeah.
whatever it's called, you know, that's the song they're playing. I think is second to Miz's Hate Me Now package of
everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
When he hit a flying knee on Cena and basically introduced that as his finisher.
Yeah.
Where it was a move, you know, there was no like, this is an important move, here comes the finisher or anything. But it was a move that was hit in such a way with such a ferocity in that moment mm-hmm. where it's like, that's not a finisher, but it has to have finished this match.
Yeah.
Finishers don't feel like finishers anymore. Like, that's part of the three tombstones syndrome.
That used to be saved for WrestleMania. Now it's getting used for pretty much everything.
Yeah, where, like, finishers are being kicked out of. And the thing is, like, even then... the finisher used to be, like, you know, the move that ended the match. And once the finisher was hit, you're like, oh, so the match is over. And you kind of have to, like, beat back that part of your brain that's like, why doesn't he just try for the finisher? Why doesn't he do any move that's not the finisher at any point?
So, especially when it's just, like, an impact move, like a bro kick or the flying knee. It's just like, okay, you could have done that a while ago.
Yeah. But that move in that moment felt like that has to finish the match. I don't understand how this match can continue past this point.
Right.
And I have not felt that. I've understood that with mm-hmm. energy, but I haven't felt that emotionally.
You weren't able to distance yourself from that thought pattern.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's something I can say about him that I almost can't say about anybody else.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan essentially shows just that sometimes wrestlers just hit a nerve with the fans, you know, because clearly he wasn't the one with the greatest grit. He did not have that rock charisma,
right?
You know, but very few do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's lightning in a bottle.
He did not even have that John Cena charisma.
Like. No, not at all. Like, and honestly, a lot of it, the baseline of it was the whole yes chant.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, anyone can do it, and it came about around the time when, you know, he was kind of a despicable character.
Right.
You know? It just so happened, like, it's like that was the bait, and it kind of hooked everyone, and his ability to A, have a great match, and B, tell a great story within that match, physically, is what captured everybody and kept him on that line, mm-hmm. you know, beyond his retirement. And, you know, there's, I hate to be like, oh, he started a movement or anything, but at that same point, he showed that WWE can find success in a storyline and they can find success, have a good storyline with WWE just kind of getting out of their own way,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like they do more often than not.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania 30 was a just refreshing reminder, like, oh, good things can happen if you just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, if you just not necessarily give the fans what they want when they want it, because then you don't have tension, you don't have storyline, you don't have, you know, if, because I rewatched it the other day, if you have Daniel Bryan win the championship at Elimination Chamber before WrestleMania 30, you don't have that WrestleMania 30 moment, right. You know? So, I mean, and of course, at that point, they still weren't including him in their main event thoughts at all at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it still played into it, and it wouldn't have been the same if they just gave the fans what they wanted at that point.
Right.
So, in a way, yes, you know, you still need to build tension. You still need to kind of leave the fans wanting more for a while, mm-hmm. you know. But as long as you end up to that, you know, that end point where you have such an incredible moment, you have something where everything clicked, all you had to do was get out of their own way. And of course, ever since that moment, WWE has done nothing but get back in their own way, yeah. and try to force feed us somebody. Be like, okay, well, this worked for Daniel Bryan, so we just really just have to retrace those footsteps and just cater it to Roman, and that'll work, right? No. Clearly that doesn't. And so, sadly, it's a lesson that WWE still hasn't fully learned
right.
yet. Or they're trying to take that lightning in a bottle that is Daniel Bryan and try to scientifically recreate that and just be like, it's a formula, right, guys? And it isn't.
Yeah. I think, like, I do want to say thank you first and foremost. I think you agree. And to any wrestler, to anybody who stands up and says, you know what, if what you want is seeing me punched in the face,
yeah, and throw myself thrown to the ground, yeah,
I will do it night after night. I mean, that's, you know, just to, like, step back and be like, look at that as a career. So always, and first and foremost on these retirement things, thank you for being willing to absolutely. Do that.
Thank you for sacrificing your time and your body.
Yes. But to Daniel Bryan specifically, thank you for starting the next step for wrestling for
yeah.
me. I remember I was going to take a break from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
26 had happened. All the storylines are interesting kind of
yeah.
had ended. Nothing new was happening.
No.
And I remember there was a 3-hour Raw, a People's Choice, Power to the People, whatever we want to call it. I don't remember what it was called that particular night, but it was the vote on the matches Raw. And it was a 3-hour Raw. And I remember about 2 hours in being like, this is Raw.
Yeah.
Little did I know, they were like every week at the time. Yeah. But like, I remember being like, this is a long Raw. I'm spending my whole Monday to watch this Raw, and I'm not really interested in anything here. And we were watching Raw together at the time, and we weren't going to be for several months.
Right.
And so I was like, I don't think I'm going to keep watching. I think like I'll pick it back up later.
I guess it was over the summer.
Yeah, it was over the summer. Yeah. I was like, I'll pick it back up later, maybe when it's convenient and easy. But sure. like, I'm not feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll watch the end of this one, but I think I'm going to take a break. I think that's good for me. And the final match was John Cena versus CM Punk, and it was when Nexus
debuted,
interrupted, invaded for the first time. And it ended on that, and it was just like, what?
Right.
But, like, a sidekick out of that was Daniel Bryan being let go.
Yeah.
and the internet going crazy over that. And I honestly, like, I didn't know Daniel Bryan prior to NXT.
Right.
The whole NXT season one thing.
We weren't inundated with the wrestling scene as a whole.
Right. And we are now. And I knew him kind of from there. And so they were like, they, you know, announced Dana Bryan is being let go. And it's like, which one is that?
Yeah.
Because I knew it wasn't Otunga. I knew it wasn't Wade Barrett. Like, those are the, like, ones that stay. And just, you know, all these complaints. And these complaints that came with links to Daniel Bryan matches.
Right.
And these announcements that Daniel Bryan was now going to be, has signed with this and that, and would be wrestling, you know, what his independents were, and links to support those independent companies that Daniel Bryan would be wrestling with, you know, in the very near future. And so one of the things Daniel Bryan did, inadvertently, by getting fired, so, like, he didn't intend to do this, I'm sure, but he introduced me to this world of wrestling. And these, like, just, and not even just, like, because I knew those independent wrestling, but it was, like, it felt the way WWE portrayed it. WWE's major leagues, these are all the minor leagues. So it's like, yeah, I guess I'll watch it if it's local, but I'm not going to, like, why would I watch all this minor stuff? And so he did that, and then he came back, and I remember that SummerSlam that he came back, and it was just, it was this moment.
This is the thing, like a month or so ago, you really didn't know a whole lot about him, but when he was announced as the surprise, you know, the surprise teammate of John Cena at SummerSlam, you were excited about it.
Yeah.
You were, like, because I know I was.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
and it shows, and in quick side note, it shows you the change of, even though it might, still might be very slight, but it shows you the change of culture with WWE then and now. Because if Daniel Bryan was first coming to the company now, he would have probably, you know, with his momentum from the indies, his momentum in other companies, he probably would have been brought in pretty much around the same ways that they brought in AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And justifiably so, if not better.
Yeah.
But instead, in 2010, 2011, 2010 it was, he was just, he's a no-namer. He's a rookie.
Well, yeah,
and then they finally, like, okay, he's an indie darling, blah 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 blah. But those guys are dime a dozen. Let me tell you, like, that kind of
I mean, attitude. Yeah, part of that was, like, it was really big where, like, because Miz was his mentor.
Yeah.
Where they're like, he has been wrestling longer than Miz.
Yes, by a large amount. Yeah. I think Miz was probably still in the real world.
Yeah.
Whenever Dan Bryan started training.
So, Dan Bryan, you know, did all of this introduction. Daniel Bryan, he became someone who I sought out his matches.
Yeah.
And not just, like, his independent matches. Like, I sought out his matches on SmackDown, which I didn't do for hardly anybody else.
Right, yeah.
But it was like, Daniel Bryan has a match with Sin Cara. And I was like, that's why we're watching SmackDown.
If anybody can make Sin Cara look good, it would be Daniel Bryan, right?
I remember that too. Amazing match.
Yeah.
In the middle of SmackDown. It wasn't even like the main event of SmackDown. It was in the middle of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan Sin Cara was this amazing match.
It was back when they were still trying to do the Sin Cara lighting.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
But
not the match, though.
No, but just Daniel Bryan, he made wrestling something. He showed me there was more wrestling past.
Yeah. He made it fun.
Yeah.
He made it fun to watch. Made it fun to tune in.
He justified the fact, because I know it will always go forward.
Yeah.
But it was going to be this thing where this was my era of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan, not as directly as CM Punk, but Daniel Bryan was very instrumental in this podcast existing.
Yeah.
Because he became one of the reasons this new upstart, this career that I would be following for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
And
it was one of those things where just, like, a lot of people are like, well, this new era that we're in, some people want to credit CM Punk for it, some people want to credit Daniel Bryan for it. I'll put it this way. CM Punk opened the door mm-hmm. for it, created a huge following, but Daniel Bryan just blew the door off the hinges.
Yeah.
As fan support, it didn't even come close. And yeah, Punk was super over, one of the most over guys in the company, but it just, you didn't see nearly the level of support that Daniel Bryan got. Like, it was just, it was Rock Austin level, almost.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to, you know, just speak in superlatives, so just because, you know, he just retired or anything, but it's the truth. Like, he held the audience in the palm of his hands on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will always say, like at the end of the day, CM Punk is my guy. CM Punk is.
Yeah.
And that's a personal preference that, you know, if we come down to any level of, like, let's argue intellectually over which one.
Right.
I mean.
Sure. And it's not in any way to diminish anything that Daniel Bryan accomplished. It's just, yeah, personal preference. But I feel like I'm in the same boat with you.
And I remember, because I sat there for a year, I mean, like, CM Punk is the next guy. CM Punk is the next, there's no question about it, they can't get away from it. CM Punk is the next guy.
And for a little while, he kind of was.
And it looked like it was going to be, and, like, they pulled him away, but I'm like, no, he'll cook him back. And I remember that Raw, and you know the Raw I'm talking about, mm-hmm. where it was like, no, Daniel Bryan is the next guy.
Yep.
I want it, in my heart of hearts, I want it to be CM Punk. It's not going to be, it's Daniel Bryan. That is unquestionable.
Yeah, you know, you felt the shift coming pretty much the last half of Team Friendship. Mm-hmm. You felt that transition coming. And then with, you know, the whole situation with Punk, you know, me personally, I was like, all right, well, Punk's gone, so I guess I gotta swing all my support behind Bryan. You know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt that, but and it was not a bad wagon to hitch up to.
Yeah. I will say this. Daniel Bryan won a WrestleMania he was not supposed to win.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't technically it. Technically, his last match was something on SmackDown with, like, Cena and Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
He surrendered that belt, came back, had a WrestleMania, won the IC belt, and had a little bit.
He surrendered that.
But when you look at it, where the injury started, how his career went, Daniel Bryan ended his career winning WrestleMania 30.
Essentially.
I mean,
granted, those injuries that nerve damage that he had started with, really, honestly, when it really began to take off. So your metaphor or your analogy remains true, mm-hmm. Because it was that one match that they had to cut short because they thought Daniel Bryan was too injured because of the nerve in his arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, those infamous, like, yelling match that he had with Triple H in the back because of it. But that was really the start of it because everyone was like, you should have not let him finish it. And then the next week, they let him finish it and he ended up beating Randy Orton, you know, which at the time felt unheard of.
Yeah.
And it really felt from that point on because the storyline was at the time was people trying to insinuate that Daniel Bryan was the weak link of Team Friendship.
Right.
And it was the beginning of, you know, them going their separate ways amicably at the time, but still.
But if you look at it like as a overarching story, the final end of it, and there's like a little bit of epilogue stuff.
Sure.
WrestleMania 30.
Like there's always going to be,
But it's WrestleMania 30. That's the Daniel Bryan moment. And to look at that and to know that they were very much behind Bryan. Like you can read all the back. They saw the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and they knew that Daniel Bryan was going to be a future WWE champion. There was no way around that. Even if they weren't impressed with it, they saw the support. They knew they could harness, they could do something right. They knew that they had plans for Daniel Bryan,
just not
at this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And to know that that kind of ended up being the last thing, mm-hmm. I look at all the roster is crammed packed with people who are worthy, who have the talent to have that WrestleMania moment.
Sure.
And who it feels like it's coming, just not this year.
Right.
It'll come, and you'll say something. You'll be like, this guy's young. This guy's only been, but part of it is, you know, this guy's only been in WWE for a year, for, right, you know, 18 months. But you say that about somebody like Kevin Owens, who, yeah, but he's been wrestling, yeah, you know, same with AJ Styles. AJ Styles is the age of John Cena.
Right. It's one of those things where, sure, like, maybe the casual WWE fan might not know what they've accomplished, but at the same time,
but that doesn't
their presence and their reputation in general would carry over to the point where it's just like, they're clearly not a rookie.
That doesn't mean that stuff that they accomplished didn't happen.
No.
That doesn't mean they don't have the talent to make it happen in WWE.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that they aren't that age, you know, sure, so they have a window.
Mm-hmm.
And if WWE had stuck to their guns, we would not have a Daniel Bryan WrestleMania, because he couldn't go beyond that. I mean,
right. He would have still had that nerve damage that he had,
exactly,
from the Randy Orton match.
And
it would still gotten progressively worse, and he still would have taken that time off, regardless if he had any sort of championship or not.
Yeah.
You know.
And, I mean, we live in a world where, you know, some of your most talented wrestlers can be out for 6 months because they hyped the crowd up the wrong way.
Right.
It's
just the weirdest. And, again, you're talking to a Cubs fan, so I've seen my share of really weird injuries. Anything can happen. Like, you pull a muscle while typing an email to your brother in Venezuela. True story, happened. Or you slipped and fell and you banged something on a hot tub. True story, it happened. You know, or you sneezed too hard and you pulled something in your abdominal muscles. True story, it happened. You know, like, that's just baseball. Like, not nearly as, you know, strenuous and...
That's not physical. People being thrown off ladders.
Exactly. Like, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, because right now we feel like we're in a very injury-prone time in WWE's history right now.
Yeah.
Or at least this year. But it's one of those things where, like, considering everything they put themselves through on a daily basis, not just what you see on TV, but on a daily basis...
It's amazing we get to see more than 5 matches out of a guy.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if they're having too many injuries or this is the right amount of injuries that probably would happen.
And we've just been
insanely lucky for the past 20-some years or whatever.
Yeah.
That we've been watching.
I really want to stress, like,
mm-hmm,
you know that I really like John Cena. I get a lot of flack for liking John Cena as much as I do. But at this point, to let any of this roster to stall out their career for half a second,
yeah,
to get a John Cena moment is ludicrous at this point.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's... I see... I mean, there's a world where WWE sticks to their guns.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan's biggest moment is, you know, that time he, you know, hyped up the crowd really well.
Yeah.
But that's it. And we have a really lackluster WrestleMania 30.
Mm-hmm.
But WWE stuck to their guns.
Right.
And, I don't know, it's something where I feel like that needs to be brought to attention with this now being for sure, Daniel Bryan will not be coming back.
Right.
We will not get... Because Daniel Bryan, like, if you went to me at WrestleMania 30 at the end of that thing, and Daniel Bryan has the belt,
mm-hmm,
and is like, you think this will be the last time you see Daniel Bryan main event at WrestleMania? Like, no.
Absolutely not. He's going to be main event for the next 3 or 4.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, he might not main event the next one, because, you know, they got to, like...
Sure, you got to rotate, you got to...
Yeah. But I was like, Daniel Bryan will main event 3 more WrestleManias.
Right.
I would have very confidently said that. Daniel Bryan has 10 more years. He will main event at least 3 more WrestleManias. No questions. And no. So, yeah.
And I will say this. There's no clear formula as to really truly explain the success of Daniel Bryan within the last few years. And, you know, a lot of naysayers were going to say, oh, just because he got over with a chant, with a one-word chant, whatever. And that is incredibly naive and narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I can't explain exactly what. Like, it's some, like, not, it's something that can't be quantified almost. And
I will say it was going to be somebody.
Sure.
Like, there was this hunger and this desperation for a new guy, and if Daniel Bryan just was not with the company,
right,
we would have latched onto somebody else.
And
in a
age where it feels like WWE is kind of like, you know, putting their fingers in their ears to the fans, you know, it's no coincidence that the guy that they got behind was one that seemingly got screwed by the company a few times. You know, you got the first time when he got fired because of the Nexus thing. And then WrestleMania 28 with the 18-second match.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, really where it took off, his career took off.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, before, when he had the Money in the Bank, he wasn't even on every pay-per-view. He wasn't on every show. He was, like, maybe on SmackDown once a while. You know, and then, you know, he got the heavyweight belt by pinning Mark Henry or Big Show, I think it was. I don't know. One of them.
It was during the Hall of Fame thing. Like,
sure. And it was a chair match between Big Show and Mark Henry. So, you know, he was just an obnoxious character. And like, okay, well, he can do that pretty well, so we'll have him on the show. And, you know, it became one of those things where he was starting to get to that point where he's supposed to be a bad guy, but he was so entertaining to watch, people were kind of cheering for him anyway.
Yeah.
And the whole yes thing.
I mean, I think a lot of it came from, because I remember that 18-second match.
Yeah.
And we have friends, like I'm sure a lot of people have friends, who just watch WrestleMania.
Sure.
That's your one time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have friends who thought that was great. It was totally unexpected. I don't know, here comes the first match of the night. Boom, yeah. 18 seconds. And it's like, that's unexpected. And had that happened to anybody else, I would have been very much on board with that. I'd be like, yes, that's a great,
but that's
a twist, that's unexpected. To do that every now and then, yeah, I'm totally behind that.
But we as a whole, like, as far as like the wrestling community, like, that was one of our guys.
I knew that this was going to be the one time this year that these people would get to see Daniel Bryan wrestle, and I was very invested in that, because there's a little bit of like, I have to re-legitimize that what I watch on a weekly basis is awesome.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan's what's going to do that for
me.
He's
one of those guys where, like, if anyone could convince them that what we watch is fun and exciting and enjoyable to watch,
yeah,
that's our guy.
And I think I felt that way. I think lots of people felt that way. And that's.
And, you know, when it happened, a lot of us felt like he really got screwed by the company again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? So that put even more of a rallying cry behind him, hence the next night at Raw. He wasn't even on the show, and yet they were doing the yes thing. They were chanting for him the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then from that point on, his career began to take off.
Yeah.
In a WWE career, I should say. Like, his career took off a decade before.
Yeah, but his WWE career took off on the shoulders of fans.
Right. And it was one of those things where every time we supported him, he kept getting knocked down in one way or another, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, it only created more of a fire within the fans to get behind him. Yeah. And so to the point where they actually played it up in the storyline, like, okay, we're just going to continue screwing this character over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are just going to get it. And, you know, you got the payoff, the huge payoff in WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of the things where when you get so many people behind one guy that, you know, the people that are pulling the trigger, so to speak, don't see it for whatever reason, you rarely ever get that payoff.
You know?
Mm-hmm. For one reason or another. But the fact that we were able to get that payoff is so, because like you said, we've all had moments where, like, maybe I should, you know, give it a break for a while, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that moment alone was just like, I'm good for like another year or so, you know?
I don't want to miss that.
Like you said, it made, like, the whole Daniel Bryan as a whole from the past few years has just made wrestling fun to watch. It made it fun. Made me feel like, it made me kind of forget, like, oh, it's scripted or whatever, however you want to word it. he was one of those people that was able to make you forget about all the other stuff for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's invaluable. That's exactly what you want in a WWE wrestler these days.
Yes.
So I know the word was used a lot this past week, but there's just a giant amount of gratitude felt towards him.
For that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. 2.5 hours of Raw that weren't about that happened too.
It made me okay. The other stuff that happened at Raw. Honestly, this Raw made me really, really want to see Brock versus Dean at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Championship or not, I don't really care.
They're really pushing this a lot, aren't they?
They kind of are. I mean, I guess, you know, it would be easy for them to kind of paint Dean as kind of like the forgotten third guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they really want to overcompensate for that, which is great because I was kind of worried that they would do that too.
Yeah.
With, you know, their infatuation with Roman, Brock being Brock.
Yeah.
And then Dean would be kind of overshadowed as the other guy. So I'm kind of happy to see that they're, like, going out of their way to not do that. But at the same time, it's like, you need to have some sort of payoff with that because I'm not necessarily too excited to see any sort of Wyatt versus Brock.
Yeah.
Or any whatever iteration that's going to be. I'm way more interested in Dean versus
Brock. Does the whole, like, slow burn that's happening where, like, Roman keeps helping Dean when Dean wants to do it himself
feel like some sort of barbershop moment?
It feels,
or barbershop window or whatever?
No, it feels weird, and it feels weird that, like, it's all coming from Stephanie. So, like, it's so very, very on the nose where she's like, don't you realize this is happening? Doesn't it make you feel like Jannetty?
I'm the one writing the scripts.
Like,
yeah.
And I feel like the like whole we had a scene where Dean's like, I'm gonna do it on my own, let me do this, and then Roman comes out. I feel like that's enough to be like, there's some fallout there. Like, I feel like, yeah. I don't need.
They didn't really lean into that, but I was very much thinking that. I was like,
well, okay. I feel like that's all I need. And but because we had like the whole thing where like 2 weeks of Stephanie being like, don't you guys want to fight? Don't you realize you won't be friends forever?
Yeah.
And it's like, so it feels very insulting to us, the fans, that we can't follow your very basic breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
That are, you know, 3 feet in front of us. And at the same time, makes both of them look really, really dumb that they're going to fall for this anyway.
Yeah.
I'm fine with, like, the whole story of, like, yeah, we're friends, but we're going for the same championship, and eventually that escalates and gets in the way, and they gotta throw down.
Sure.
That's the very simple storyline.
You go through it every Royal Rumble.
It's very tried and true. I think it's fine to do. We've never really had these guys come to a head. They were both anti-Seth. So, yeah. Like, this whole... Well, we had a little bit where they were in a Fatal 4-Way match.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw them go at each other, but, like, there wasn't any really animosity there. So, like, it is something I haven't seen before. I'm happy to see it. I'm perfectly happy to, like, go in that direction and see where it goes. But the fact that it's all sparked because Stephanie's like, don't you think that this might happen if you keep going down this road? Just feels so, like, eye-rolling, cringe-inducingly... Ugh.
Makes me think that there's some sort of, like, heel-to-face ratio with all the Shield members, or former Shield members, you know? Seth turned heel, so you gotta have two faces. Seth, whenever he comes back, is probably gonna be a face. So you gotta have a heel in that trio, so...
Roman?
Roman with a...
Wishful
manager?
Thinking.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking.
Or, honestly, I would like to see a Dean heel, too.
I have a,
like,
question for you. Who is the best heel working in WWE right now? Active roster. Best heel.
Can I have a four-way tie between New Day and Kevin Owens?
Is New Day
their
heel at this point?
What was it, last week that they threatened to fight children?
Yeah, but they did it so efficiently.
Fair enough. Whereas when Kevin Owens says it, you're like, oh, you might actually punch a child.
Yeah.
As a far out, like... straight up and downhill, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Okay, now who is second?
Oh, man.
I'll go ahead and so we don't have this dead air while you think. Because, like, Kevin Owens, yeah, is clearly kind of the front runner.
Yeah.
But I feel like Miz is number two.
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to.
Like, I was watching, I was like...
Just because he's such a smarmy prick.
Yeah, and he, you know? And he knows how to do that, and he works it well.
Right.
And he's the guy can guys work a going crowd. To
get, he's not going to get, like, Vicky Guerrero booze every time he comes out, but he's kind of got his own thing. Like, he's got his own...
But, like, he...
Guaranteed every week.
And he uses it in such a way where he genuinely put AJ Styles over during that Miz TV segment.
Yeah.
Very successfully by being a heel yeah. about it. And I was like, that's... I feel like there are cheap pops for heels the way that there are... I mean, it, you know, glad we're in, you know... Not in this town for more than a night because of their stupid sports team and how all the people smell like garbage and have terrible jobs.
That's what New Day did for a while, yeah.
And, like, so, yeah, there are, there's that, but, like, it's easier to be a heel. We've said that, like, it's easier because of, it's easier to get boos than cheers. But Miz still does it in a way that is... very clear that he knows what he's doing. He's sure. handling it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of brought that up because I was like, so, you know, we're about to, you know, you need face heel interactions.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're getting woefully short on heels just because, I mean, you have Kevin Owens and like the other options are like the League of Nations. But you've put them all into one thing, so there's now just a League of Nations thing.
Right.
And I don't care anyway.
And only two of them can actually wrestle right now.
Yeah. And Bray Wyatt is the name that I'm sure some people are screaming at the podcast because I haven't brought it up yet. And yeah, I get that Bray Wyatt's really good.
These losses are starting to pile up, though.
Yeah. It's just, know? It's... Bray Wyatt is... To me, Bray Wyatt should be the boss fight. He has three lackeys.
Sure.
Bray Wyatt should be fighting pretty much just on pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, he should sit and talk and have one of the other three guys or a tag team of the other, you know, two of the other guys or whatever. But Bray Wyatt should be very rarely getting in the ring. You need to fight through these three guys.
Yeah.
And just by doing that, Bray Wyatt immediately becomes a bigger threat.
Yeah.
Because it's basic... video game, you know, mentality where you're like, if this guy's the last one, if this guy's the leader, he's the hardest one. It doesn't matter that Boogan Stugan is a giant ape of a man.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt's clearly the real threat here. And so just this weird booking with him, the fact that he still talks in really vague things.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's really good when it's coming out of his mouth, but the second, like... the commercial hits and
you forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, okay, that's literally...
You put no thought into it and you're like, I don't even know if they're...
Is that good? Is that bad? Who is that directed towards?
Yeah. Especially when he seems to be, like, in a feud with Ryback?
Yeah.
And I say it like that because I forgot.
Well, and that just kind of feels Ryback like...
Is that forgettable?
That just kind of feels like, you know, Bray Wyatt has to look legitimate against Brock... So maybe he'll fight a smaller Brock. We have one of those.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I would love for Bray Wyatt to be the top heel.
He should be.
I think he's very talented. I think there's no reason he's not. But he's not right now. Mm-hmm. I think Miz is a solid, strong number two.
Yeah. And this can't necessarily be remedied by just bring up new... scary guys from NXT or anything like that.
No.
You've got plenty of talent on the roster. You can use what you've got, just book it correctly.
Yeah.
It seems like an impossible task for them now.
And part of what's interesting is we've had this whole discussion without mentioning Triple H or the Authority, which is supposed to be the big heel, and I think is the genesis of this problem because... there's been so much focus on the Authority as this heel figure that literally every other heel has been diminished right. by that, or has just been kind of shoved aside as...
And part of that is because, you know, as a member of the Authority, you had Seth Rollins, who's blowing everybody out of the water as far as heel work
yeah.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And once he's no longer in that equation, the Authority are like, well, we still want to be, like, an entity in one yeah. way or another.
Well, we're watching the WrestleManias right now, and mm-hmm. watching WrestleMania 15 was like every other match.
It was the Vince show.
Yeah, well, they were fighting somebody from the corporation. Yeah. Like, the corporation was a big thing. There were a lot of people involved in that. And, you know, so they were all the heels, but, like, okay, and there were varying successes of heels, but they were, part of it was just the corporation were the bad guys.
Yeah.
The problem with the Authority is that they're also the ones announcing exciting things.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a, oh, why is Stephanie saying be a star on the PSA and then being me on the show? Because I can differentiate between
sure,
that.
Yeah,
like
yeah. It's a TV show.
Yeah, that's, I'm not upset about that. But, like, when Stephanie's like, Roman's getting another chance for a title because that's what's best for business, when they literally,
yeah.
24 hours ago, wrapped the entire Rumble around getting rid of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not consistent characterizations.
No.
And you're putting so much dedication into the Authority as the heel and Triple H as the heel, and to just do something like that because, you know, they're in charge of the show, so they would be the ones making announcements and booking matches.
Sure.
Completely undercuts any aspect of them as a heel.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to do that, you might as well just have some sort of, like, face GM that comes out only to two announce matches or something along those lines.
Yeah, like that's...
Yeah.
Somebody who, you know, has weird contractual clauses where they can't be fired by the Authority, and, you know, their matches, if they set up matches, they can't be undone. Maybe
someone,
a freshly retired...
Yeah, I was about to say, someone who might have 3 years left on his contract, and he's still getting paid as if he's an active wrestler, and they certainly don't want to, you know, put that money to waste, so they want to put him in front of a camera on a regular basis, and they can't, they have stuff against him, but they can't contractually fire him. At the same time, they can't beat him up because doctor says no. I wonder who can now, if he comes out and he goes full on like Commissioner Foley, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
Because you saw, like, the guy isn't void of any personality. You saw that in his retirement speech. The guy has got charisma. Mm-hmm. He can punch you in the feels.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, he was being heartfelt and being genuine and everything, but still. He got the fans to chant, "That's what she said."
Yes.
It takes a special person. The Rock basically could come on and be like, "That's what she said," right? Everyone, "That's what she's," and do it like that. But he did it just by talking, and the people just did it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like you're supposed to. Not just, you know, soft serve it to everybody.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you were able to get there with me.
Hey.
Like, I'm glad.
Was that your plan all along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, and it's...
I don't know. I was just kind of being a jerk with my whole explanation of it. But yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, I'm... They are ruining their heels right now.
Yeah.
Because... And they're ruining their heels because they're not caring about any of it but the top one.
Yeah.
And they're not doing a good job with the top one. So, by result, that results in them ruining all of their heels.
Yeah. I just don't...
Which, like, is a weird thing because I don't mean to be like, Miz shouldn't be a good heel because Miz is an amazing heel.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing to look at it and be like, Miz is, like, where Miz is right now should not be even in consideration for number two heel.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, and I think he's in consideration for number one. Like, I think Kevin Owens beats him out, but I think that's Kevin Owens booking
right.
more than anything else. So that's where...
Now I'm like, thinking of, like, I'm assuming since you want, like, some sort of duality here, like, Triple H has his guys that he surrounds himself with, like, who would Daniel Bryan surround himself with, and they're all injured.
Well, no, Daniel
because one of the silver is like Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, you know.
Daniel Bryan or whoever they got for a face. You know, I sure. can't think.
Also, I don't know. I don't understand like who would come out and make an announcement. You know, because I mean, it would have to be some sort of face entity. Because Vince can't do it right now because Vince is full on anti-Roman right now. Same yeah. with you, both members of the Authority.
I mean.
But I'm sure there's
honestly,
there's
a way to work I'm fine with Daniel Bryan coming out and announcing it. Where
like,
you're like,
hey, the all mysterious board of trustees that we never get to see.
Yeah, those
they
guys.
Announced that you know the same guys that you know
the same guys that fired Vince that one time.
Sure, right, and
which that didn't stick.
No, they just announced him as you know he's still the chairman, so who cares? Mm-hmm. So sure, there's ways around it.
I mean, that's easy enough to do, where Daniel Bryan, I mean, I would, you know, if I were fantasy booking it, I would have him bring up, like, he has 3 years left on his contract, the Board of Trustees is not willing to pay him to sit on his butt.
Right.
You know, so they are, quote-unquote, forcing him into this managerial position.
Right.
And there's so much that's...
I feel like we're going to be a few weeks before we do that.
Okay,
like,
and that's totally
we're going to let this breathe for a while.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And I honestly, if I were doing it and I were WWE, I would wait until after WrestleMania.
Sure.
Because
that's...
I feel like standing Daniel Bryan next to Roman Reigns is just going to make people boo Reigns.
Sure. And plus, this is a ready-made feud that you don't really have to add too much to.
Yeah.
And it pretty much sets you up for the rest... For the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's kind of where I was going with that, where, you know, it's just, you have him and he can be, you know, I'm in it for the people and,
right.
you know, that kind of thing. And so, best for business can stop meaning two things. Because right now, best for business half the time means best for the authority and half the time means what people want to see.
Right.
Which, when it means two basically opposite things, it means nothing.
Daniel Bryan teams up with his, probably by this point, new father-in-law, John Laurinaitis, with the bringing back people power.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that far.
They're family now.
I know.
Or they're going to
They're be. On the way.
They're on the way. That's a weird family tree. Right
yeah, it
now.
Is.
Because you got one branch, you got Laurinaitis. You got one branch, you got Daniel Bryan. And, well, it's not going to be a branch, but you still have some sort of connection with John Cena.
And Cena hangs out in the treehouse.
And Cena's just like, how did I get here? Not linked to it officially yet, so I still have that trap door.
All right, what's making you happy this week?
Oh, man, this is rough. Because A, got this whole Daniel Bryan thing. B, Valentine's Day is this weekend. And I'm single, so sadness. my birthday's coming up, so I guess
Your birthday's coming up!
It's the weekend after Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can go ahead and just start holding on to that for happiness.
There you go.
But no, you know... Things, I guess. I don't have anything.
You sound so squeaky when you don't know.
I didn't think I was sad, but I don't have anything directly to point to. Like, this is what's making me happy right now.
Well, prepare to feel like a jerk, because I have something.
Oh God.
So somebody on the internet. With this Daniel Bryan thing having happened,
mm-hmm.
has basically gone through the network and found every single Daniel Bryan match
mm-hmm.
available on the network.
Yeah, I kind of started doing like a light version of like just going through network stuff, really just watching my favorite moments, not necessarily going in any sort of order. Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's just seeing that for the first time and... power scrolling through it and just the list going and going.
Yeah, and that's just WWE stuff.
Yeah. And so part of what hurts about Daniel Bryan's thing is you're sitting there going, it's a career cut short.
Yeah.
Again, there's those three WrestleMania main event matches that I'll never get to see now that I felt like I was going to get to see, you know, 2 years ago. So, but even though it does feel like a career cut short and matches that we'll never get to see.
It was still a link.
There's a, you know, giant library of stuff, and just kind of getting to see that.
Which is the beauty of having, you know, wrestling, WWE wrestling, like, two, sometimes three times a week.
Yeah.
You know, and you got a workhorse like Daniel Bryan, who's going to be on just about anything he can be on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so basically what you're saying is, I'm going to be spending Valentine's Day with Daniel Bryan. There's worse things you can do.
Absolutely.
I'll take it.
But that's kind of what in the middle has made me happy is like, and I started like going through, and there were some things from like, he fought him?
Yeah.
And there's some things where like, mm-hmm. you know, it was matches where he would have it in the middle of the card, but like it had stuck out to me.
Right.
The bragging rights match.
I was just going to bring that up. Like, I was going to suggest that to people, like, if you don't want to watch, like, because, you know, I'm assuming a lot of us has rewatched WrestleMania 30, so the SummerSlam between him and John Cena, like, those kind of, if you want to do something a little bit different, go back, I believe it was 2010, it had been 2010, because I was still in college, because I was watching it in the dorm room with Neil, because no one else showed up, because it was bragging rights, who cared, but it was Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler for the United States Championship, and that was really the main, like, the first time where I'm like, where I felt like, you know, Daniel Bryan is he's one of my favorites, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was good, and I knew he was, you know, he had a following, and I respected that, but it was that match where I was like, he really wrote me in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of things, like, there's a huge list of those.
Oh yeah.
And so thanks to whoever put that together.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's good to kind of go through that.
That, and I know it doesn't get a whole lot of mention, but I still like the Money in the Bank championship match between him and CM Punk with AJ as the
mm-hmm.
special guest.
Watch the whole
really
trilogy
good,
again.
Like, really great storytelling in that match.
Yeah, just watch the whole trilogy again.
Oh, yeah.
The three matches.
Yeah. I did last night. Yeah.
There you go. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Until next time, you can... Crap, I'm totally... we are on Twitter.
There we go.
Until next time, we are on Twitter. You can follow us at CR Attire. We live tweet Mondays and all appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there. Get a new episode every week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, if you want to check us out there, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, just kind of see what else we're doing.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.